Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for giving an anointing here. And thank you for revealing it on the other end. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, I'm going to share with you concerning preparing for the man-child birth. All right. So let me begin with this word to be ready for this manifestation of the man-child birth and the work to follow. We call this a quick change. And it was given by Anonymous. There will be a quick change coming soon. More of my son will be manifesting through you and those who choose all of me. I am increasing and quickly. Be ready each moment. Let go of everything that is not me. Let go of all doubt and unbelief. Let go of all carnal and worldly thinking. Everything you think you know and what you know is changing into me. You will begin to not recognize yourself, but you will see me in you and our other brethren. Amen. Well, completely in unity in me, you will soon be. Closer and closer each moment, becoming one together, fully in Christ. Time is now. Stop thinking and looking for the future, planning the future or past, but focus on each moment you are in now. I am now. Time is now. My son focused on this moment. His mind was and is on all of you. Let go of all the distractions that stop you from bathing in my presence. Let go of all those little sins you think are hidden. I see all, and I want all evil out of you. No evil is in my son, and there will be no evil in his bride. Now and for eternity. Time is ticking and passing more quickly than you think. Things will start proceeding more rapidly. In an instant, it will be. Don't look back. Let go of all your carnal desires, senses, and interests in this world. Face me only and look to me. Think of me. Communion with me every moment. I am in you and for you, and everything is from me. Look to me, and you will keep my peace, my joy, and my pleasure that is beyond anything in the natural. I'm coming sooner. Get ready now. Don't miss out on the things that I have for you. Each minute, and second, I have a gift for you, and when you aren't in me, you miss out on what I wanted to give you. So don't look away or to the enemy, only me. I am coming and am already here. Look and see. I sense that this is going to be coming and happening quicker than we expected. Okay, we call this Enter Ye In by the Narrow Gate, B.A. I had just finished my morning prayers and was getting out of bed when I received a word from the Holy Spirit. If you think the body scanners and pat downs at the airports are bad, wait until you see the searches that I will be doing with my body. I sat back down on the bed as this took me by surprise, and after a few minutes I got up and dressed and went down by the lake to meditate on this word. As I was sitting there, I got a vision. I was inside a huge mega church filled with people. It looked like a football stadium. Well, in a larger sense, the stadium is the body of Christ. And in a smaller sense, it is UBM in this case. I saw a man dressed as a shepherd who was speaking from a podium to the people. And this is a type of the one shepherd, Jesus, ministering to the man-child and to the one flock. I couldn't figure out why I was there. I felt like an ant inside this place, and it was so big. I was pondering why I was there when suddenly I saw a bright light shining down from the high ceiling. And I watched as the light came down and went through the crowd. The light, I guess you could say, is the Word that came down out of heaven to give us rebirth in the image of Jesus. Amen. Suddenly it stopped and hovered over someone down towards the front. At this time, two ushers came and escorted that individual from the building. This happened several more times. I was surprised that no one else seemed to notice what was going on. Well, many don't understand the opportunity that we have to humble ourselves to the Word and be like Him and to love Him. This bright beam of light seemed to be working its way from the front of the building towards the back to where I was seated. The geometric progression of the Word being passed on from person to person, from the front to the back. And then, just like the others, this beam of light came down and hovered over me, and the two ushers came and escorted me out of the building. This represents being born of the mother, as the bride was in Song of Solomon, I believe. So as I got outside, I saw the others who had gone out before me, and they were all standing together in a group and were hugging each other. As I drew near to them, they came up and started hugging me and shouting, "We've been chosen, we've been chosen." Well, that was the end of the vision. Matthew 22:14. For many are the called, but few are the chosen. It is so true. There are people who listen to our meetings all the time, and some absorb it and some don't. Some take it for knowledge that they can share with others, and some are, first of all, working on themselves, which is what we should be doing. Matthew 22:14 says, "For many are the called, but few chosen." Amen. So the bride is being chosen before the tribulation, because that is the seven-day marriage feast, when the groom feasts with the bride over the bread or the Word and wine or the nature of Jesus Christ. And just as I was getting up to go back into the house, I received another word from the Holy Spirit: strive to enter in by the narrow gate. Yes. Luke 13:24. Strive to enter in by the narrow door, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many are they that enter in thereby. For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leadeth unto life, and few are they that find it. I believe the Lord was giving me a warning, and I believe the Lord is taking what is going on in the natural to prepare his body for the spiritual. And those body scanners and pat-downs at the airport are very revealing and humbling. And I believe that the Lord is warning us that that's nothing compared to the body, God's people, search that he is doing to do to his people. And of course, when you do this, you're looking for something that's not supposed to be there, right? Something hidden. Anything illegal, according to the word, will not pass. And unforgiveness, lust and pride, rebellion, etc., won't fly. I believe this message is for the first fruits, man, child, and bride. The Lord gave me more word this morning, and the Lord told me he was searching his people, and that he has been giving them a series of pop quizzes leading up to the final test for the first fruits. If we can't pass the series of quizzes, we have no chance of passing the big test. These quizzes are to test the body to see where they stand spiritually, and how will we as the body be able to function when situations get much tougher. As world events become more extreme, and we are going, or we are being sifted. So, I would say, if one cannot prove to live in the love and the nature of Jesus in the small tests, they could never conquer the big tests that are coming in the midst of turmoil and trouble. Also, I believe that the Lord is telling the body to get real with their hearts. Anyone holding on to any unforgiveness of unconfessed or hidden sin will not make the cut. Love each other from the heart, brothers and sisters. It is a huge blessing to be in the first fruits. We're not to be concerned about our specific place within the body. It's the Lord's decision and his alone to place each and every one of us in the position that he has chosen for us. And we do not appoint ourselves to positions as many do. Okay, we call this birthing the man-child and under attack. This was given to Warren Edwards. In a dream, I was with a woman who was about to give birth, and we were alone in a birthing room, and there was great commotion outside. And when the woman was just about ready to give birth, two people who were outside of the room burst in and said, "We were about to be overcome, and that we would have to believe, would have to leave." Well, let me say that the beast threat against the church will be great at the time God births his man-child in them and to lead them. We were in another room just like the first room. The only difference was that now the woman who was to give birth looked more pregnant than before. And I was aware that the two men who were outside were there to protect us from the people trying to attack us. And just as the woman was ready again, they burst into the room and said again that we were about to be overcome and had to move. So we moved again. Well, the church will be running from the devil instead of after the devil before this leadership arrives. And we were in the same type of room again with the same commotion outside. And the woman was larger with child than ever and looked as though she would burst because she was so big. I became aware that I was not protecting the woman, but was to protect the child that she carried. The men burst into the room again and said again that we were about to be overcome and we had to move. They had weapons in their hands, and one carried a fence post, which I believe is for the separating of us from the beasts, symbolizing sanctification from the flesh, right? And the other, a piece of steel tube, which is a vessel for the water of the word to flow through. Sanctification is necessary for us to be a channel for the spoken word, which is our sword of the Spirit. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. We need to be a pure channel for the water of the word, right? Some only know the word through the colored glasses their preachers give them, but we need to know and experience the word through the Holy Spirit. I noticed the weapons bore no marks of use, and I became angry, and I asked the men why they had not used their weapons against the enemy. They argued that the enemy was too strong and insisted that we leave before we were overcome. Well, unsanctification, doubt, and the lack of the knowledge of authority makes God's people cower before the enemy. Very angry, I lifted my hands and spoke. The enemy was immediately quieted and fell. The men who were protecting the woman fell silent and had an expression of fear on their faces. They just moved out of the way. They were not hurt. The woman gave birth, and the child and I were taken away in the spirit. And that was the end of the dream. Well, this is the story of the dragon beast in Revelation chapter 12, awaiting the birth of the man-child in order to devour it before it is caught up to the throne of authority. Care has been given to some to birth this man-child, who are also to be members of it. Revelation 12 and 1 on down, it says, "And a great sign was seen in heaven, a woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was with child. And she cried out, travailing in birth and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his heads 7 diadems or crowns, and his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven." Well, this falling away of the stars, God said, were Abraham's seed, is the danger. And did cast them to the earth. Well, we are to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, right? Not upon the earth, right? Spiritually speaking. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And this is the other threat spoken of. Right? And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, or 3.5 years. And I, David, had a dream or a vision many years ago about birthing the man-child from a dying religious system. And I was standing on top of a mountain representing the kingdom of God. And looking down the mountainside, I saw a construction crew coming up the mountainside, putting up the big metal power poles for high voltage power lines. And I believe that this is the coming of the latter rain, a much greater anointing than the former rain. And more power from God to do what is necessary and needed. And it's, of course, to come as Christ in us, because the Bible says he comes with the latter rain. And then I looked down beside me on the ground and noticed a very old, emaciated cow lying there. It looked as though it was about to die. And next to it was a very large baby boy that I knew had been born from that cow. Next, I saw a front end loader come and scoop up the cow and carry it away. It's obviously not the product that the Lord wants here. It was the baby, right? So, moving the old dead system out of the way, of the power coming through the man-child, as it was in Jesus' day. I picked up the baby and walked over and got on an escalator. Now, you don't have to walk up an escalator, you just rest. So, resting and being caught up to the throne of God's authority to use power, right? So as we were going up, I noticed a woman next to me with a normal-sized baby looking at my baby, and she said, "That looks like a real baby boy." Watching the front-end loader carry away the cow, I said, "Yeah, I wonder how that's possible." Well, out of that old dead system is going to come a man-child in the image of Jesus. Right. Then the scene changed, and I was walking into a minister's conference. All of the famous religious leaders were there. One particular famous minister, whom we all know, walked over and handed me some papers. The Lord showed me that he represented a generation of Saul ministers who were ceding their authority to the man-child. And then the Lord said to me, "This is his propaganda about what he has accomplished." Of course, none of us have accomplished anything if it's not Christ through us, right? So he gets all the credit. Judy Miller also had a dream on 12-10-08, which we called Christian Snipers, where I was under attack while trying to deliver the man-child. And here is the shortened version of it. She said, "I have never, to the best of my recollection, dreamed about someone I never met, but I can seem to get it out of my mind. I can't seem to get it out of my mind. Since this dream was about David, I thought it might be something that he would understand. He and I and a woman who could have been his wife, but I never saw her, were in a big empty room like a cafeteria." Well, let me say that the cafeteria is where food is served. So I believe this has something to do with our teachings that we feed the saints. And of course, in one case, of course, we are feeding the saints in order for the man-child to mature and come forth. So there was only one table which was standing on its end in this empty room, and it was one of those really heavy tables that takes two people to move. David and the woman were on the underside of this table, and he was delivering a baby from her. I believe this speaks of delivering the baby under the table, symbolizing being out of public view. Some people pay no attention to the fact that some Davids work very hard at delivering the individual and corporate fruit of Christ from the woman church behind the scenes. I was on the top side digging a bullet out of David's back. Well, the top side of the table represents being in public. David was shot from the direction of the public, and Judy removed the slug in public. Sniping at David's in public is the work of those who have critical, factious spirits and do not care what they do day and night to serve the saints. So those who have wisdom of the word should publicly be gracefully correct, should gracefully correct slander, backbiting, gossip, and criticism. If you sit and listen to it, it will take you over because it's unscriptural. And as Judy was symbolically doing here, Psalm 11 and 2, "For lo, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may shoot in darkness at the upright in heart." How I was doing this through the table, I don't know, but the strange thing was this, that he never seemed to notice that he had a bullet in his back. He didn't acknowledge any pain while I was digging it out. He actually never said anything during this whole thing, but seemed to be concentrating on delivering this baby. The most important thing is delivering the baby. I get bullets in the back without me knowing it all the time because some don't speak to your face alone as Jesus demands in Matthew 18 and 15, but go to the public, which is reserved for the third step in verse 17, and only when there is sin. So some who are overcome by critical, factious spirits and selfish ambition receive accusations against elders, 1 Timothy 5 and 19, in their minds or from others for the purpose of separating brethren unto themselves. They have selfish ambition. And of course, if God had considered that they were mature enough, he would have given them. But no, they have to do it this way. I finally managed to get the bullet out of his back, and I held it up to the light, and it glittered on the brass when the light hit it, and I just smiled. That was the end of the dream. The glitter on the slug speaks of putting on a public display to impress men. Since that is the way glitter is used, public persecution has come against our ministry, and sadly, sometimes it is from within, as it was with Jesus. And of course, this is always to separate the wheat from the tares. It's God's work. We give thanks to it, to Him for doing it, etc. Some like to magnify themselves at others' expense. I don't know why they think God is not looking, and he knows the intent, but they don't. So we call this one, Jesus is again coming in humility. June Johnson. In a very vivid dream, I saw a donkey in the middle of a road with a baby on its back. It is Jesus, birthed in the end-time corporate man-child, whose beastly flesh is in servitude and humility by God's grace. Matthew 21 and 5. Tell ye, the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Well, you would have thought in some cases that he would have been riding a Cadillac, right? But no, he was expressing humility here, in keeping the flesh under, basically speaking. So Jesus is coming as the latter rain on this morning of the third thousand-year day, according to Hosea 6 and 2. It says, after 2 days, that's 2,000 years, because a day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, right? After 2 days, will he revive us, and on the third day, that's the third 1,000 years, he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is as sure as the morning. So it's the morning, on the morning of the third 1,000-year day. And he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. Some are confused about the coming of the Lord at the beginning of the tribulation. They make it a physical coming, but he's telling us here how he is coming. He will anoint the first fruits man-child with the latter rain first, as it was with Jesus in the former rain. The Jews expected him to come as a reigning king over their enemies, as the Christians do today. But the enemy wasn't the Romans, but the devil, sin, and the flesh that he was making war on. He wasn't dealing with the Roman government, right? Not much. So the things that have been are the things that will be. Instead, he will come once again in the form of humble servants before coming personally. I then heard a car coming and thought to myself that I had to get the baby out of the road before the car came closer. Well, the dragon will seek to destroy the corporate man-child, as with Jesus, Moses, Joseph, David, etc. But he will be anointed with authority to rule from the throne as they were. Revelation 12 and 4. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon standeth before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. Well, I'll point out to you that John was told to come up hither, and I will show you the things that are to come to pass hereafter. And this was a long time after Jesus was born as a type of the end-time man-child. So this is not Jesus personally. However, it is Jesus in the man-child. Jesus will get credit for all of the work that the man-child does. Verse 6 goes on, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So the man-child is going to nourish the woman in the wilderness for those 3.5 years. The donkey then knelt down, and I grabbed the baby and ran. That was the end of the dream. So Jesus will come wherever the beastly flesh is in submission. Others will partake of the Spirit of Christ in them. The fruit of Christ will be served to God's people through a humble fleshly body, right? Represented by the donkey. And this one we call Jesus is coming in his people. This was Jan from Alaska. I got several confirmations during the day that this was from the Lord, and I don't want to miss any message in it. I'm standing just outside of an open doorway that leads into a bedroom in the heart of the house. I'm told or asked by someone high above me, literally high over my head in the spirit, to go to this woman to midwife her having a baby, and the baby is Jesus. I walked into the room, and it's flooded with bright light, with a great light on her. And she is ruddy in complexion, and I can see only her body from the base of her neck down. She's young, 15 to 18, small, naked, alone in the room, and up on her elbows, pushing in agony with the birth. She's in the end stage of delivery, as the baby has already dropped into the birth canal, and she barely looks pregnant. I go over and I put my hand on her stomach to comfort her, and not so much to guide the baby as to feel the baby. And I have great compassion for her pain. And then I walk to the end of the bed and I see the baby's head has already burst through the canal, and the top of his head, which is snow white, is exposed. I believe that this represents the revelation of Christ as head of not only the body, but the man-child body, right? Song of Solomon 5, 8 through 10 says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. What is thy beloved more than another beloved, O thou fairest among women? What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Won't any Jesus do? No. That thou dost so charge us. My beloved is white and ruddy. There it is. The chiefest among 10,000. So I'm excited with happiness, but I stay focused. I talk comfort to her and watch as the baby is born into my arms. And he is very ruddy. Well, we know the man-child David was said to be ruddy, right? I hold the baby to my chest and run down a narrow hallway towards the front, in other words, into the future, right? Outer court, possibly, of the house, where I know a lot of people are waiting to hear that he's been born. I'm crying and laughing because I'm so happy I got to witness this, that Jesus has come. And that's how he's coming. He's coming as the latter rain in the man-child ministry. So with the latter rain anointing for the whole man-child reformer body, right? Baby Jesus, who is very red and physically very strong, Revelation 12 and 10 says, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. Leans over and takes my left index finger into his mouth and bites down. And I realize that he has a full set of very white adult teeth. That reminded Genesis 49:9, Judah is a lion's cub. His, that is Judah's, eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white as milk. Left hand means hiding place, place of covering. Index finger or forefinger means the finger of God, in other words, the power of God. I awoke crying and praising God, overcome with joy of it all. This dream may be a confirmation or a continuation of a dream that I had 2 weeks ago, in which I was looking at the Word, and in red letters I read, "Tell of your Master and of his coming." Genesis 49:1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, "Gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the latter days." For one thing, the latter rain, right? "Judah, thee shalt thy brethren praise. Thy hand shall be on the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's sons shall bow down before thee." Judah is a lion's whelp. "From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stoopeth down, he coucheth as a lion, and as a lioness, who shall rouse him up?" In verse 10, and this verse was given by faith at random to us when we asked, "What spiritual tribe are we from?" That was us, me and my wife. And this is the verse that he gave us by faith at random. "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until Shiloh come," Hebrew, peace giver, right? And that's from the Assyrian prince or ruler. "And unto him shall the obedience of the peoples be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He hath washed his garments in wine, and his vesture in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth," there they are, "white with milk." And the word I received at that same time, Isaiah 33:10. "Now will I arise, saith the Lord, now will I lift up myself, now will I be exalted." So, Jesus came as a baby with the former rain ministry and passed this on to the woman, church, who were called Christians because Jesus lived in them. And now history has to repeat, as Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "That which hath been is that which shall be." And Jesus said that he would return again as a man-child born to a woman, a church, John 16:19. Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said a little while, and you behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice." and you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow, because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And you therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again. So he's going to be seen again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh away from you. So he will come manifested in his corporate end time man-child reformer body. That's how he's going to be seen again. Because the one inside that body, empowering that body with the latter rain, which he said he was going to come with, is Jesus. So Revelation 12 and 5. And she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days. So he will come through the latter rain anointing after 2,000 year days, on the morning of the 3,000. Hosea 6 and 2 says, after 2 days will he revive us, and on the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live before him. And let us know, let us follow on to know Jehovah. His going forth is sure as the morning, so it's the morning of the 3,000 year day, and he will come unto us as the rain, as the latter rain that watereth the earth. So he's coming again. He will be seen again, this time as the latter rain. So then this anointing will be spread throughout the elect church as history repeats. And then he will come in the clouds of his heavenly people. That will be at the end, right? But what's coming at the beginning is him coming with the latter rain. Just remember, the most important thing is not the man-child, but the one who lives in the man-child. He is coming in that way as the latter rain. He will impart through power the healing and the deliverance and the teaching and everything that Jesus wanted done. So this one we call the David Ministry is Born. Eve Brast. I dreamed that my husband and I had a fourth son. In real life, we have three. Noah, 16. Elijah, 11. Josiah, 8. That was at the time of the dream. And I had just given birth to this fourth son. I was wondering where my husband was in the dream, because he was not present for the birth. My older two sons were nearby, but it was my son Josiah who was present for the birth. He was standing at my right hand and admiring the new baby boy with me. I have learned that the birth of the man-child is different from the birth of the man-child ministry. This is me talking here. In Jesus' life, there were 30 years between these two. It was that way with Joseph, David, and Moses as types of the man-child. They all had a pre-anointing life and service to God. But when the anointing came, the kingly anointing came, the real ministry began. I had wrapped him in a white blanket and was holding his head with my right cheek against my heart. I was talking to Josiah and exclaiming, "He looks just like Elijah when Elijah was born, only he has richer, thicker hair." My son Elijah was born in November, the 11th month of the year, and he is at the time of this dream 11 years old. And Father gave me this dream on 11, 11, and 13. 11 has been a number of manifest judgment on the wicked, but also a deliverance and blessing for the righteous. And this is what comes with the man-child ministry of the White Horse Rider. And I started quoting Bible scriptures to this new baby as he rested on my heart. And I didn't know where these verses were located in the Word, but every verse that I quoted to him, he would quote them right back to me in a soft, quiet, gentleman's voice. And then he would add where that verse was located in the Word. I discovered that most of the verses that I was quoting to him were in the book of James. Well, what we see here is the man-child ministry being birthed into the world though they are small in size and number, they will manifest supernatural knowledge and nature of the Word made flesh, because he knew the address of all of those verses. Pretty neat. Josiah and I were looking and smiling at the new baby, and I was saying, "Isn't he so precious? He is so sweet. We are going to name him David." That was long before she met me, so it's not talking about me, right? I've always loved that name, and then I woke up. Well, the anointed David ministers are now coming onto the scene as a man-child, because David was a type of the man-child. Not because my name is David. I'm sure a lot of the names of these people aren't David, okay? It's just symbolic, right? So I asked Father for scriptures for this dream and received Ecclesiastes 7 and 1. "A good name is better than precious oil, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." Because then you get to enter fully into the kingdom, right? So this ministry will have gone through birth, death, and resurrection to the latter rain anointing to manifest the name of Jesus. Luke 24 and 50. "And he led them out until they were over against Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them." So he led them to the house of bread, Bethany, and blessed them. Bread, of course, represents the Word of God, right? Matthew 11 and 27, "All things have been delivered unto me of my Father, and no one knoweth the Son save the Father. Neither doth any know the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son willeth to reveal him." My finger landed on the words "to reveal him." Well, the manifest sons will be revealed by the Lord, and they will reveal the Lord. You know, the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the creation itself is going to be delivered from bondage, right? Then I asked for a word concerning me in this dream, and my finger landed on Matthew 1 and 21. "And she shall bring forth a son." Pretty neat, huh? and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sins. And my finger was on the words, and she shall bring forth a son. Amazing. Yes. So, word received by random and by faith in God. That's how this word came. So, we call this next one, The Armies of God March Soon. Another one given to Eve Brast. The Father gave me a dream on 9/22/11, 2 days after the vision he gave me of the birth of Isaac in Abraham's tent dream. This was the birth of the man-child who, as David, will lead the Lord's earthly army into battle against the spiritual Philistines and their demon gods. And I share this dream below. Eve said, I'm sending it now because last night I was lamenting to the Father how pronounced the separation is becoming between myself and friends and loved ones who love the world more than the truth of the word and discipleship. It seems to have become extremely pronounced recently. I was asking the Father to speak to me concerning this, and when I opened my Bible, my finger was on Psalm 18 and 29. For by thee I run upon a troop, and by my God do I leap over a wall. So the Lord's power and anointing will enable us to leap over walls. Walls represent separation and battle for souls in bondage, but we must have our armor and be led by our general, right? General Jesus, the head of all of the Father's forces. I went on to read the entire text of Psalm 18, which answered my questions perfectly and gave me comfort. I knew instantly after reading this that it was time to send this dream. Okay, I saw myself standing in the driveway in front of my grandmother's old house. Well, Eve, as a type of the bride of the last Adam, is a part of the house of the ancient church. This is a grandmother's old house, right? The ancient church and word before the falling away, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. That house I grew up in on Lago Vista Street, meaning Lake View. I was facing west, looking across the pond, and the sun was disappearing over the horizon, and there was just enough light left to make out the scene. Well, a time of darkness is coming on the world, but the waters of the word are always before the bride's face. I was dressed in silver polished armor with gold trim. Well, armor that reflects the sun, S-U-N, or sun, S-O-N, and blinds the enemy. My hair had turned blonde. Hair represents submission to our husband. Blonde hair represents submission to the sun, S-U-N-S-O-N. 1 Corinthians 11 points this out. The wind started to gust. False winds of doctrines. Out of the north, the beast. Obviously, a lot of the things that God's people have learned through the apostate church makes them victims in this world, victims to the beast, well, victims to the beastly flesh, you know, the dragon, so on and so forth. And this wind was blowing the dead leaves that had fallen from the trees, and what seemed like dead grass, clippings over me. So, coming in contact with those who are falling away to their flesh. For Peter said, all flesh is as grass. I heard a voice from the south, God's army, say, the armies of God march soon. And I became concerned and started to panic because my armor had some missing pieces, like pieces of a puzzle, and there was no time left to go back into my grandmother's house. Okay, because obviously in the grandmother's house they understood this armor, which they don't today quite often. So this represents the ancient origin or original church, the grandmother's house, right? This was where we ought to be getting all of our doctrine from, is right out of the scriptures. That's grandmother's house right there. The ancient church that gave us all of that truth, all of that teaching, all of that come outer teaching, because church means the called out ones. So where the rest of the pieces were located, and find them. So looking for the rest of the pieces of the armor, right? By the way, when you look at the armor, you realize that most of it has to do with the Word of God. Okay? The armor can only be found in the original church of the Word. If you change God's Word, then you don't have the armor. So at that moment, I cried out to the Father, help me, Father. I don't know what to do. I knew that I went back inside and I would miss the deployment of troops, and that if I went into battle like I was, missing some armor, I would be wounded. Well, effectual fervent prayer to the Father can finish up the armor. And many are taken out even now because they had no armor. And suddenly the missing pieces started appearing from above me and attaching themselves in their proper places on my armor suit, completing it for the march and the battle. Well, all need to pray to complete the armor so that they are not taken out in the coming darkness and association with the dead around us, members of the body of the beast, right? Ephesians 6 and 12. For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and against the powers and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Wherefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and withal taking up the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Well, if you're letting the darts come through, those are things that go into your mind and start fires that basically destroy, right? Understanding and so on. Then your armor's not complete. You need to defend yourself with your armor, right? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit. And see, you need to be able to pray in the Spirit because the Spirit knows what we need, right? And watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. So when I asked the Father for scripture for this dream back on September the 22nd, I opened my Bible and my finger was on 2 Chronicles 33:14. Now after this, he built an outer wall to the city of David, and on the west side of Gihon, in the valley, even to the entrance of the fish gate, and he compassed Ophel with it, and raised it up to a very great height, and he put captains in all of the fortified cities. And this was after King Manasseh, in verse 13, had repented to God, and God brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Well, and he was preparing for war, coming against the city of David by putting on its armor, so to speak. So I asked for another scripture to expand the meaning of this dream to me. And when I opened my eyes, my finger was on John 8:56. Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Well, we know Abraham fought for the people that were taken captive by the kings of Canaan's land, which is the beast. So this amazed me because it connected the previous vision that the Father gave me two nights before with this current dream, and God is so awesome and faithful to show us what he's doing. I was flying through space inside our inner solar system towards the sun. And as I was coming up, I saw Mercury, Venus, and Earth. Mercury and Earth were in alignment, and Venus was extremely close to coming into perfect alignment with them. Now, my note here is that Eve didn't know this, but these planets were in perfect alignment, or very close to perfect alignment, from October the 31st until November the 15th. Very interesting. Just a confirmation, you know, of the revelation, so that we'll pay attention, right? I was brought in closer, and all my attention was placed on Venus. As I was waking up, I heard a voice say, "And he shall be given a rod and a staff with which to rule over the sons of men." Could this be the hinting at the anointing? Well, we'll see. The rod represents chastening, and the staff, restraint and guidance. The alignments of Earth, Mercury, and Venus can actually be seen as a type of a rod. The rod and the staff are the instruments of the shepherd who is coming in his man-child to be the general for his troops. Amen. Revelation 22:16 says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star, Venus, right? And Jesus is the root that brought forth the branch of David, and he is the branch, Jeremiah 23, and also chapter 33, right? So the scriptures that were given to me for this dream were Ezekiel 40 and 6. Then came he unto the gate which looked towards the east, and went up the steps thereof, and he measured the threshold of the gate, one reed broad, and the other threshold one reed broad. So Jesus is coming through the eastern gate into the temple of his people. He is measuring the way through which he comes, and many will not measure up. John 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Jeremiah 30 and 17, for I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord, because they have called thee an outcast, saying, it is Zion whom no man seeketh after. So, and then Zion, the bride, will be sought out and restored. With love for all my brethren, be encouraged and strengthened in the Lord. Well, amen. Thank you very much. And this next one we call Promised Seed Brings in Multitudes. This was given to Eve Brast. On 9/20/11, before going to bed, I was out on my porch facing the east tower toward a fantastic light show that was occurring in the storm clouds. It was completely silent with no thunder at all, which is unusual. In my imagination, I saw the angel Michael and his angels fighting against Satan and his forces of darkness in the heavens, and Satan being cast down to the earth. And I felt in my spirit to pray against the forces of darkness that are coming against the saints of God. Revelation 12 and 10 came to me, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuseth them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto death. Well, this casting down of Satan will be for the purpose of persecuting the woman church and driving her into the safety of the wilderness for 3.5 years, as in Revelation 12, 13 through 14. To be trained by the man-child in verses 5 through 6. So, you remember the Egypt's army was behind God's people to drive them into the wilderness, and there Moses taught them, Moses the type of the man-child, taught them in the wilderness, right? After Moses had gone through his own wilderness, God sent him to bring God's people through the wilderness, because he knew how to get there. After this, I went to lie down, but before I could fall asleep, the Father gave me a vision. And remember, this is Eve, the bride of Adam / Jesus, right? She's a type of the bride here. Was standing on the corner of an angled portion of the roof of Herod's temple, which was over some pillars and steps. In the vision, this is where Satan had taken Jesus during his time of testing. The bride is being tested by Satan to see who will overcome by faith in the blood, the words of their testimony, and sacrificing their life. I was looking down and observing a scene at my left. Crouching down and observing the scene was Satan. He was dressed in a solid black hooded robe, and all I could see were his gray and bony hands with sharp pointed nails. My attention returned to the scene below. So Satan hides in the darkness of wicked men, the seven-headed, ten-horned dragon body of lost humanity, because that's what it is, so that men do not perceive this to be a trial from him. Men are tempted to wrestle with flesh and blood in this way. It's a test, it's a trial. But as soon as we get enlightenment, we understand that we're really fighting with these principalities and powers who rule over lost men. Abraham had pitched his tent, her revelation goes, on the cobblestones in front of the steps of the temple, and was pacing outside the tent like an expectant father. Well, Abraham means father of a multitude. He is the father of the faithful and represents our Father in heaven. I was able to see right through the top of the tent, and I could see Sarah, who was old and gray-headed, giving birth to Isaac, because it was a miracle birth again, with the assistance of three handmaids. She gave birth to him with great ease. So our Father sowed the seed of the word in Sarah, meaning princess, who represents the bride who had not brought forth the seed of man. And as with Sarah, the bride is in the midst of the church, who is now in old age. She is bringing forth the promised man-child seed of Father Abraham, through whom he will be the father of a multitude from all nations. Then I saw Abraham hurry into the tent as soon as Isaac was delivered, and he held the baby up to the heavens towards the Father in praise and dedication. The gift from God through whom that he will begin the latter rain revival to bring in the multitudes. He was the father of a multitude, right? And as soon as Isaac was born, Satan, still crouched on my left, started to pound his right fist down upon his left palm and screamed twice, "We've lost them! We've lost them!" Because the promised seed was born. And let me say, it's going to happen again. So as sure as this child will be born, Satan will lose the multitudes who were captive to him. You lost them 2,000 years ago, Satan. Just remember that. So this is when the vision ended, and I became aware that I was in my bed trying to go to sleep. And I looked this up in Hebrews 11:11. By faith, even Sarah herself received power to conceive seed when she was past age, since she counted him faithful who had promised. And even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So in Isaac was and is in type the seed of all future generations, and he begat the one whose seed was the 12 patriarchs, just as Jesus did, and just as the man-child will spiritually. And when I asked the Father for some verses, my finger was on Proverbs 18 and 20. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be satisfied. So don't forget to confess the great things that God is showing you for yourself, for your family, and so on. So the spoken word will bring forth the multitudes like the commands through Moses to Pharaoh, right? And also Isaiah 66 and 19. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send such as escape of them in unto the nations, to Tarshish, Apul, and Lud, that draw the bow, to Tubal, to Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the nations. So the sign here is the man-child, Emmanuel, meaning God with us, prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, and Luke 2 and 10 through 12 and verse 34. He will send those who escape the beast to the nations to declare the fame of the Lord. Praise the Lord that Satan has already been defeated. He encouraged the brethren. Be encouraged, brethren. So we call this next one birthing of the man-child and bride's fruit, and beginning of great judgment too. This was also given to Eve Brast. I dreamed that I was in an old military-style fort with UBM. The entire perimeter or outer wall doubled as living quarters and storage rooms. The interior courtyard area was open, and we were gathering supplies in preparation for an imminent massive judgment from God in the form of a thick blanket of darkness that was heading towards the fort. Well, at this time, we know of one possibility of an imminent judgment, in that the deep state has prepared more deadly plagues to unleash upon the global population, more wars that they want to start, and so on and so forth. And this judgment could also represent the beginning of the seven-year tribulation when the man-child is born. The judgment was fast approaching, coming from my right in the form of an oppressive darkness that was blanketing the earth. I knew that many people would die from this judgment in the dream. Let me say that the vaccine deaths multiplied quickly. We know that the deep state has another plandemic that's worse than the COVID's vax not the COVID, but the COVID's vax. So as this was coming, she said, upon the world, I was simultaneously standing on a large wooden deck where I was in active labor to give birth to twins, a boy and a girl, even though I did not outwardly look pregnant. I had a vision of them coming through the birth canal side by side, the boy on the right and the girl at his left. They were being born in an upright position, or what they call breech, which is feet first. This represents the fruit of Christ in the man-child and the bride coming to maturity and being born ready to walk in the steps of Jesus through the seven-year tribulation period that is quickly approaching. So while I was laboring to bring them forth, I would squat down and try with all of my might to push them out. But because they were being born at the same time, I could not birth them in my own strength, and I was becoming tired. And then the knowledge of the Holy Spirit came to me to, quote, just stand and relax, unquote. This is God's job, right? So when I did this, they were born smoothly and with ease on their own. And then I woke up. Well, through faith and rest of God, the bride will bear her own fruit and that of the man-child. Everyone has a born-again person like themselves on the inside that has to come forth. And, of course, the man-child. Missy got this text by faith at random for the morning prayer meeting. And she thought it went with this dream, 2 Chronicles 6:4-11. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spake with his mouth unto David my father, and hath with his hands fulfilled it, saying, since the day that I brought forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city out of all the tribes of Israel to build a house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be prince over my people Israel, but I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David my father to build a house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel, but Jehovah said unto David my father, whereas it was in my heart, in thy heart, to build a house for my name, thou didst well, that it was in thy heart. Nevertheless, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son that shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. And Jehovah hath performed his word that he spake, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and sit on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of Jehovah, the God of Israel. And there have I set the ark, wherein is the covenant of Jehovah, which he made with the children of Israel. So this parable represents the two stages of the man-child ministry. David, who was a warrior, and Solomon, meaning peaceful. The son of David, Solomon, priestful, which the man-child Jesus, the Prince of Peace, was also called. This fruit of David, representing Christ in him, will build the house and not his old man. David was a man of war, And he fought all the battles against the enemies and conquered the enemies in time for Solomon, who was peaceful, to rule in peace. So David was a man of war, but his fruit, Solomon, was the prince of peace to build the temple. And David provided the materials for the temple, and his son, or fruit, built it. And we call this one, she was delivered of a son, a man-child. And this was given to Elena Timoshuk. I dreamed I was at my sister Lydia's house, and I took a shower in her bathroom. And after I finished showering, I lay down on her bed to take a nap. I've recently repented of some idols that the Lord showed me were still in my life, and I believe that the shower represents the washing away of my sins, and this repentance and cleansing that I had just gone through in the Lord. And now that I am made pure by him, I have entered into his rest, which she was doing. So in the dream, as I closed my eyes, I immediately started seeing a vision in animated form. I saw a large old-fashioned church building made of gray stone. The old-fashioned church represents the original church, and the stone represents Jesus, who is the rock and foundation of the church. And then it was as if I was standing in the back of the church and could see everything happening inside. And I saw rows of pews with people in them. They were all facing the front, where you'd normally see the preacher, behind a pulpit. I believe these people are the ones eagerly waiting for the man-child, and they have their eyes forward, focused on Jesus Christ. Well, let me say that the Nicolaitans put one man over the sheep of the congregation who lords his position over them. But Jesus did not intend it to be so for his disciples. The man-child will restore the original fivefold ministries of leadership and accountability in the church government. In Matthew 20 and 25 through 28, but Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Not so shall it be among you, but whosoever would become great among you shall be your minister or servant. And whosoever would be first among you shall be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. So, instead of a preacher, a woman was standing there. She was dressed in beautiful garments, in various hues of blue. The way she was dressed reminded me of the pictures I'd see of Mary with the baby Jesus. Well, this represents the woman of Revelation 12 who gives birth to the corporate body of the man-child, just as Mary gave birth to Jesus in his individual body 2,000 years ago. And Mary was the bride of the Lord to bring forth the man-child, Jesus, by the seed of the Holy Spirit. So, Elena goes on, she said, she lay down on a table that was behind her, and I saw that she was pregnant, and I could see the shadow of a baby inside her belly. She started pushing and gave birth to a baby boy. And when the baby came out, everyone in the church jumped up and started rejoicing and hugging each other. Well, this will be a great thing, like it was great when Jesus was born, right? The man-child will be born out of the bride body, which is a smaller body inside the church body, okay? So the woman was looking at everyone with a huge smile on her face. That was when I noticed a gold crown on her head and a long blue veil covering her blonde hair. I believe that the woman looked like pictures I saw of Mary because she is the parallel of the one who birthed Jesus Christ in our day, and the woman from whom the man-child will come. She was clothed in beautiful hues of blue, representing heavenly colors, and her veil is her submission to Christ. The crown is the glory that she will have in heaven because she represents the bride. John 16:19-22. Jesus perceived that they were desirous to ask him, and he said unto them, "Do you inquire among yourselves concerning this, that I said, a little while, and you shall behold me not, and again a little while, and you shall see me?" Okay, so now we're at the end of that second little while, right? "And you shall see me." In other words, I'm coming again. He had already come, but he was coming again. "Verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man-child, is born into the world." And this was represented by the huge smile that she had on her face, right? "And you therefore now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no one taketh from you." So birthing the Christ in our day, who comes with the latter rain, will give great joy. The corporate man-child reformer, David ministry, in whom Jesus lives by word and spirit, is about to be born. And in the night that Cyrus, as Trump, conquered Babylon, Daniel, as a type of the man-child, was promoted as a ruler of the kingdom. And we're close to the man-child's anointing to rule. So after their moment of rejoicing, everyone went to the front of the church and exited out a side door. I believe there will be great rejoicing for those waiting for the man-child, and they all walked out of the church when he was born, because they are going to spread the true gospel, the good news, right? So these are the modern day disciples of Christ who are going forth as the first disciples did. Amen. The church was now empty, and I saw a man appear in front of the church, where he sat down on the steps of the stage. He wore clothes that resembled royalty, the colors of red and white, with a gold crown on his head. He had light brown hair, and his expression looked sorrowful. I believe the man represented Jesus in the man-child. The red and white symbolize the blood sacrifice and the purity of Jesus, and the gold crown is also the glory that he has been given by the Father in heaven for his obedience and sacrifice. And I believe his expression was sorrowful because he feels his Father's sorrow over the people that have fallen away. Yes, of course. And then I heard a voice fill the whole room, and I knew it was the Father speaking to him. I can't remember the exact words our Father was saying, but I remember the idea of it, so I will just put it in my own words. He told the man that his people have been on the fence for too long, worshiping him and Mammon. The time has come for them to make a choice, for very soon they will be judged and many, many deaths are going to start occurring. Well, let me say, in the natural, many will die because of the graphene oxide and spike protein and all the other things that they are trying to kill people off with, which is sprayed and are in vaccinated people, so on and so forth. Spiritually, there will also be a falling away. You can see our book, Escape the Falling Away. These are the rebellious and lukewarm that the Lord will spew out of his mouth, or I could say out of the mouth of his body. Revelation 3 and 16, so because thou art lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In other words, they fell away. He told him to go out and warn his people because the time has drawn very near. And I believe Father is showing me here that the man-child is coming very, very soon. But for those who are not living in the Spirit, but after the flesh, a very difficult time is also very near. We need to intercede for them in prayer and warn them to repent and draw near unto the Lord. And we also must give up our idols and worship our one true God. The man jumped up with a determined expression on his face and went out the side door to do as the Father had told him. And then the vision ended in the dream, and I opened my eyes. Well, again, let me say, when the man-child is anointed and sent forth by the Father, he will have power to complete all that he is sent to do. I stepped outside onto the back porch to clear my mind so that I could write down the vision. My brother Leo came out and started the grill because he was going to grill some meat. Well, Leo represents the Lion of Judah, Jesus, who is solely focused on crucifying our flesh in the fiery trial. Then something started happening in the sky. I saw clouds forming in lines very quickly, and it looked like that the lines were being sprayed into the sky. The way they formed was very interesting. It started as a line that would turn into a 45-degree angle, ultimately formed a triangle. And this likely represents, I believe, the all-seeing eye within the triangular shaped pyramid representing the Illuminati at the head of the deep state, which God is now destroying. Thank God. They are Luciferians and eugenicists, and they are depopulating the global population through their chemtrail spraying programs and vaccines. Okay, as soon as the triangle was formed, the cloud would turn black and another would form connecting to the point of the other triangle, and it was making lines across the sky that just looked like a bunch of black triangles. Well, let me say, it could be that these large black triangular crafts are TR-3Bs, which are anti-gravity, noiseless, extremely fast U.S. aircraft, black ops, spraying, plagues, vax, mapping, spying, etc. It was very fast. I stepped off the porch and lay down in the grass to try to see what was happening more clearly. Well, lying on top of the grass represents conquering the flesh of our old nature. The Bible says that all flesh is as grass, and this allows us to have a spiritual discernment and to see things more clearly. I asked my brother, could these possibly be natural? The triangle with the all-seeing eye represents the leadership of the deep state and is forming lines across the sky, which we call chemtrails, that can spray plagues and vax, etc. I never heard his reply because as soon as I asked that question, a robot jumped onto my face and started attacking me. I was wrestling with him and managed to push him off, and I jumped up. And I believe this is representing the chemtrail spraying, the, listen, nanobot technology that has been discovered in the vaccines, which they're spraying to, and attacking the people by deoxygenating their blood, thereby making it feel like it's hard to breathe. Of course, oxygen in your blood is necessary, you know. So at first I thought it was some kind of futuristic delivery robot. Yeah, it is. And it had black, white, and blue colors. The robot started coming at me again when I saw many more robots falling out of the sky. There you go. They're spraying it into the backyard, and they were all chasing me. So this nanobot technology is capable of being aerosolized and sprayed upon large groups of people at one time. We're not under this curse, which Jesus bore, so we need to point that out. Galatians 3 and 13 says Jesus redeemed us from the curse of the law, that is, the curse that came upon mankind because of breaking the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So we're under Psalm 91, where we are taught how to escape this. Psalm 91, 2 and 3 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Can you say that? And my fortress. This is a good confession. My God, in whom I trust, for he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Amen. A good promise. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. So if you confess him as your refuge, it says, thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Therefore shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Remember that. Okay. So I looked back at my brother, wanting to ask for his help, but he was just focused on grilling the meat. So in the midst of tribulations, we must focus on the sacrifice of our flesh in the fiery trial. I started running around the backyard trying to climb on trees and fences, but they would follow me wherever I went. That's because they were falling from the sky in the air, right? It seemed as if they were angry at me for being on the grass. Well, that's with the flesh under our feet. The demons are threatened and will attack us by every means and distraction that they can muster. However, they'll lose because the flesh is under your feet, right? Finally, I ran back onto the porch where Leo was sacrificing the flesh, and all of the robots disappeared. So we must stay on the porch with Leo, the Lion of Judah. There is safety from our enemies when we abide in Christ and live the crucified life. Then the scene changed again, and I saw a couple sitting on a pool filled with water. The woman was very heavily pregnant, and I could tell that she was due to give birth soon. There was a midwife on the side of the pool instructing her so that she could give birth without tearing, and then I woke up. Well, let me say, staying in the water of the Word makes giving birth to the fruit of Christ possible and easier. So this one we called UBM Born Again, ML. I dreamed of a bombed building, but I do not know what building or where it was, and I only saw a few yards ahead of me. I believe UBM was attacked by spiritual terrorists to separate the unclean from us, as has been prophesied for years. But also, this process has been going on around the world and has been reported to us. So the enemy had moved on, and there was a total absence of fear. UBM had come together to rebuild. Our focus was that we had a job to do, cleaning away debris and rebuilding this place. Well, cleaning away the debris and the people that don't belong is what makes it possible, because you're unleavened, right? So, cleaning away the old unregenerate of UBM and bringing forth the new, like the lunar eclipse of Michael Campbell's dream, where there was an eclipse and the first sliver of the new moon was much brighter than the whole moon had been before the eclipse. Meaning, of course, this born-again sliver is the one that God's after, right? Sometimes I only saw feet and legs, and sometimes up to the shoulders, or saw people from the back. The most amazing thing was that I noticed people we knew from our former church who were working with us. That's good. They had come out to help, right? And it seemed so good to see them being freed. I saw some of the faces of our former leadership and others. This is a text that we received before for this, Zechariah 1:17 on, "Cry yet again, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities shall yet overflow with prosperity, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem," the bride, right? "And I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, four horns. And I said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these? And he answered me, These are the horns which have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. And the Lord showed me four smiths. Then said I, What come these to do? And he spake, saying, These are the horns which scattered Judah, so that no man did lift up his head. But these are come," that is the smiths, "are come to terrify them, and to cast down the horns of the nations, which lifted up their horn against the land of Judah to scatter it." Amen. My husband and I were observing this, and I had the knowing that members of our local UBM were there. I felt that close-knit communion that we have, a unity I've never felt before. This unity and love is increasingly happening. I saw a person carry a 5-gallon white bucket in each hand and go towards a corner of the room. The wall did not exist, only the two-foot sections that formed the corners remained. Each of the walls was like this around the building. Well, walls between groups are passing away. Only the cornerstone of Christ will remain. UBM will be without walls, with room for many more people. A great revival. And this is the text that the Lord spoke to me that we have received before about UBM. Zechariah 2 and 3. "And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as villages without walls, by reason of the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and I will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heavens, saith the Lord. We must flee now from the Babylonish beast nature and captivity if we're able to be safe. Ho, Zion, escape thou that dwellest with the daughter of Babylon." Come out from among them, right? "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, After glory hath he sent me unto the nations which plundered you. These who brought down the walls," right? "For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they shall be a spoil to those that served them." In other words, they will be returned, right? And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I will come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. As the old die and the new come in with the Lord, this will come. And many nations shall join themselves to the Lord in that day. Great revival, right? The nations or Gentiles join Zion's daughter, the bride, in these days as a great revival, and the text goes on, and shall be my people. So multitudes will come in and shall be the people of the Lord. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee, and the Lord shall inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for he is waked up out of his holy habitation. And in other words, to fight for Zion, right? The man with the buckets bent to his knees and started scooping up pieces of the debris with his hands and then dropping the cement chunks and wood into the bucket. In other words, cleaning out the old to make room for the new. That's what he's doing, and that's what he has done. I think we're about through with that process, thank God. A few moments later, I saw another pair of hands helping him, and this was happening all through this room of UBM. And I knew that it was happening in the rest of the building, or the house of God. And then I saw a very kind older man with a beard and collar-length gray hair sitting down at a makeshift table, and I thought I had seen him before. Likely the man-child, right? It was made from broken pieces of brick, cement block, and a flat old board about 12 to 14 inches wide. And the length was long enough to go across the bricks that supported it. A wilderness setting, I would say this looks like. And on the board, he had a piece of paper and some kind of list. It may have been job assignments, I'm not sure. Two people had left after talking to him and seemed excited. UBMers coming into their individual ministries to complement other gifts, right? There was a lightness in the air, and even though there was a lot to do, everyone was pulling together and with much joy. Like the new birth, there will be much joy and excitement in UBM and other faithful ministries which God will join together. And we will be one flock with one shepherd, as Jesus said. I received this concerning the rebuilding of UBM. Haggai 2 and 1. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, that is born from Babylon, meaning the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes as nothing? How do we build the former house? With the true word of God. You can't do it with the word of men. It has to be the word of God. Because that was the original program, you notice. Verse 4, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. That's two man-child types, by the way. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit abode among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, there's that little while again, and I will shake the heavens and the earth. Okay, we got this shaking coming. And the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations and the precious things. The Hebrew word there is desire. Instead of precious things, the Hebrew was desire. In other words, the Lord. Of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Oh, glory to God. Thank you so much. Father, thank you so much for this awesome revelations, all of these revelations of what's coming, and we're very expectant, and we're going to rejoice on that day. Hallelujah. God bless you, saints. Be drawing closer to God. Be a part of what God is doing. Amen.